Take your Bibles, turn to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 4. 2 Timothy, chapter number 4. Got a few folks text and they're running late, so we might still have a few more coming in this morning. 2 Timothy, chapter 4, and we've been dealing with the judgment seat of Christ over the last several weeks, and we started off the whole study with answering the question, why do we do what we do, and why are there things that we do not do as a child of God? And we found the answer to be to please the Lord Jesus Christ. And one day we'll stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and every person will give an account of himself to God. And so there's been many folks that have left, and maybe left this church or other good churches, and they decided they're going to do their own thing. And every person is going to give an account of himself to God. Every pastor is going to give an account. Every person will give an account of himself to God one day at the judgment seat of Christ. We are looking at the three judgments as a Christian. There's three different ones. There's a judgment as a sinner, and that was taken care of on the cross of Calvary. God took care of that sin, and he poured out his wrath on the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. He paid for our sin. Debt on Calvary. And so that was the judgment as a sinner. Now, if someone does not accept Christ as their Savior, the Bible says over in the book of Revelation that you're going to have to give an account for your works. So wait a minute, we're not saved by works. No, because your works aren't good enough. No, there's nothing you can do to merit salvation. And so, but if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will, all your works will be put up. And the Bible said all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And so the judgment as a sinner was taken care of on the cross of Calvary. That was a past judgment, and all of our sins, past, present, and future. And then the second judgment as a Christian is the judgment as a son. The judgment as a son, and that's where we read that the Lord chastens those whom He loveth. And the Bible also tells us to judge ourselves lest we be judged. And so that's an opportunity that for us to get right with God when we mess up. Aren't you thankful that we can get right with Him?
Amen.
Amen. I'm thankful for that. Amen. And so if there's times that we mess up, we can go to the Lord humbly and say, Lord, I'm sorry I messed up. And not to get saved or stay saved, but Lord, I'm sorry that I've messed up and I want to fix this relationship. Just like you would with a parent, a father and a son relationship, you can go and say, hey, I messed things up and I want to get things right. And so you can do that with God. And then the last one that we looked at was the judgment as a servant. And that's a future judgment to come, the judgment seat of Christ. All of our works that were done, everything that was done in the body, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to give an account for after salvation. And so every deed that you've done, if it's for God and for His glory and honor, it'll come through as those precious stones, the gold and silver. If it was done in the flesh, if it was done to please you or done for selfish reasons, those things will be wood, hay, stubble, and will burn up. And so that led into the conversation that many of you have gone through these things before, but it's good to be reminded of, but the crowns that we can win, the crowns that we can win. And so that's the part of the study that we're on. If you want to go back and listen to any of the classes, most all of them were recorded and are on our church website if you want to go back and listen to any of them. But those are listed on there. But right now we're dealing with the crown of righteousness. And I started this, I believe it was Father's Day last Sunday or two Sundays ago. I wasn't here last Sunday. And so time has slipped me by. But I started this then, but I'm going to go back and cover it because we ran out of time a couple weeks ago. But 2 Timothy chapter 4, and look with me in verse number 6. We'll start there. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I did that last week at the church I was at, and they all just stared at me. I said, well, this is going to be fun. We just preached anyway. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. For I am now ready, this is Paul speaking to Timothy, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So the first crown that we're going to look at in the series of looking at crowns that have to do with the judgment seat of Christ is this crown of righteousness. And a couple weeks ago we looked at 1 Corinthians 3:13, and just for the sake of going back over it, and I didn't record it last time, let's go back and look at it one more time. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we notice that Paul said that day, they shall give me at that day. That day matches up with a phrase we find here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So let's go look at that again this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, this is that passage on the judgment seat of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 13. If you read back up in verse number 12, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, and we looked in detail of all those things. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And so that day that's mentioned over here in 2 Timothy matches the day found here in verse 13. And this crown will be given to him. That day is a reference to the rapture of the church. Is also referred to as the day of Christ in Philippians chapter 1 verse 10. And so on that day we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. This crown of righteousness will be ready there for Paul and also those who love his appearing. There's no excuse for a Christian today to not earn this crown. Amen. Matter of fact, this is the easiest crown out of all the crowns for a Christian to earn. So how do I do it? Love is appearing. Amen. Just think about him coming back. Amen. Amen. And I don't know how you can't watch the news and pick up a newspaper or hear the things that are going on in this world and not say, even so, come quickly, Lord Amen. Jesus. Amen. Now, those that enjoy their sin and they want to enjoy it for a season longer, they're not going to be looking for the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
If you're not living right and you're not doing right and you're not being the Christian you ought to be, you're not excited about him coming back mm-hmm. because you're going to stand before him that day. We read also in Corinthians about knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men in reference to the judgment seat of Christ. So if you're not living right and not doing right, you're not excited about seeing him come back.
Right.
But out of all the crowns, this one's the easiest one for a child of God to earn. And there's no excuse for a Christian not to earn this one. It's rewarded to those that love for Jesus Christ to come back. Let me see. Colossians chapter 3 verse 2. Let's go look at that. Colossians chapter 3 verse 2. There's two passages we find in Scripture that'll help us in earning this crown. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. All right, the Bible said, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. So one of the ways that you can earn this crown is by setting your affections on things above. If all you care about is temporal things and things on this earth, then you're going to have a hard time loving the appearing of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. We ought to set our affections on things above. The things that we do when raising our family, we ought to do them with heaven in mind.
Right.
With the judgment seat of Christ in mind. With standing before the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where our affections ought to be. It's sad to say this morning, but there is a lot of people today. This is July the 4th. It's the 245th birthday of America. And there's a lot of people this very morning that chose rather to go to the lake or to go to some kind of entertainment venue rather than to be at church. That's the decision they made. They decided to be with family, and I'm all for being with family. And there'll be plenty of time to do that this afternoon and tomorrow or whatever. Amen. Brother Bowen said we're with family right now. Amen. But it's where is your affection? Amen. And I understand, you know, people go on vacations and do things. Brother Woodside and them, they're in the ministry 24-7, but he's on vacation this week, and he said we're going to church somewhere. Amen. And so I appreciate him coming here since he hooked up out here. Amen. But we're glad to have them this morning. But you set your affections on things above. And so if you want to earn this crown of righteousness, where's your affections? Where's the things what are the things that you love? Are they things that are eternal or things that are temporal? Amen. And so there's a lot of people that made that decision today. They made that decision not to be in church. They made a conscious decision to say, hey, we're, you know, and again, I know there's some people that, you know, they take vacations and those kind of things. But just because it's an American holiday doesn't mean that it's a time not to go to church. Amen.
Amen.
And however you want to feel about that, it don't matter. God knows your heart. Amen. And do whatever you want to do. You chose to be here. So praise God.
Yeah.
There's some that chose not to be here. Amen. They made that decision, and that's okay. That's between them and God. They'll give an account for it. But I'm still going to preach on it.
Amen.
All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Just a couple chapters over to your right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Aren't you thankful that our Bible tells us there's things that God, that pleases the Lord, but then they tell us how to, like, how to do them?
Right.
Amen. It's not just, hey, do this and good luck. The Bible said this is what pleases me, and here's how you do it. Amen. All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 14. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 14. The Bible says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You know, another way that we can be encouraged and help us in earning this crown is to encourage one another that the Lord's coming back.
Amen.
Amen. Every time something happens, it's not always easy to hear, especially after you lose the death of a loved one or something like that. But man, it's encouraging to hear, hey, God's coming back.
Yes.
And the death of a loved one, at the time, it doesn't seem like there's much comfort can be found. But hey, you're going to see him again is a comfort.
Right.
Amen. And those are things that we can use to encourage each other and encourage ourselves in the Lord to love his appearing and be excited about him coming back.
Amen.
I mean, every time I feel like I read the news, or I try not to look at it too much. We can't watch it at the house, but I try to read it online or whatever. And I'm reading these different articles. I'm thinking, Lord, would you come back, man?
Amen.
He's going to make everything right.
Amen.
And I'm looking forward to him coming back. And so this is the easiest of all those. And, it's good to be under preaching and under in a church that is you're continually reminded that the Lord's coming back.
Amen.
Amen. That's a good thing. And we like to talk about that. The Lord's coming back. And I believe he's coming back soon. Look with me in Revelation chapter number 3. There's a lot of churches today. They don't mention the return of Christ. They don't talk about the return of Christ. There could be different reasons. One, maybe that pastor's not living right and he don't want God to come back. He's enjoying making all the money he's making, or whatever the case might be. Maybe not living right, but man, there may be some that have given up that he's coming back, but I still believe he's coming back.
Amen.
Amen. Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 11. Look what the scripture tells us here. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy what?
Crown.
Thy crown. Don't let anybody take your crown.
Amen.
He's coming back. Stay faithful to God. Don't give up. Amen. Stay right with him and be looking for his appearing and hold fast the things that you know are right, and don't let any man take your crown. Amen. And that's something you can use to encourage other people when they're going through a hard time. You can encourage them. Hang in there. The Lord's coming back.
Yes.
Amen. Just hang in there. There's a lot of illustrations we could give along those lines. One thing that can help you in to earn this crown is to read your Bible every day. Amen. He wrote us a love letter. He wrote us a book, man, and we can read about it. I've heard many stories of maybe some folks that were in the military or off at war, and their loved ones would write them letters, and that's all they had. And they would cling to those letters until they got to see their loved ones again. And I tell you what, I'm looking forward to seeing my Savior.
Yeah,
and I'm reminded of that every day when I pick up my Bible. No matter where I open, no matter where I read, I see him.
Yeah.
I see him. Amen. Somebody the other day was asking about the different names of God, like how come there's different names of God? Every name represents a different attribute of God.
Yes.
And no matter where you read in the Bible, you see a different attribute of Him. And isn't He wonderful?
Amen.
Amen. I believe He is.
Amen.
And if you don't, you need to get in your book, amen, or get saved, one of the two. And so He's absolutely wonderful. There's over 900 verses in the Old Testament, and there's over 100 verses in the New Testament referring to the second coming of Christ. Amen. It's all through there. Read your Bible. Read your Bible every day. Look with me at 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter number 2. First John chapter 2, and look with me in verse number 28. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be a what? Ashamed before Him at His coming. The Lord's coming back.
Amen.
Amen. He's coming back. And I would hate for Him to come back and me be found ashamed because of maybe the way I'm living. I've said this before. There's a lot of things and there's a lot of places I would not want to be when He showed up.
Amen.
I would love to be at church.
Amen.
I'd love to be at church. Maybe the whole congregation singing What a Day That'll Be.
Yeah.
Man, wouldn't that be neat singing a song about His return and He shows up and says, all right, well, I'm here.
Yeah.
Amen. I wouldn't want to be caught. There's some things I wouldn't want to be caught looking at when He came back.
Amen.
Right. Amen. Because at that very moment, when I'm looking at something I'm not supposed to be looking at, I'm not thinking about His return. Because if I was, I probably would stop immediately and say, wow, what if the Lord came back? Amen.
Amen.
There's some places I wouldn't want to be.
Yeah.
What if He came back on a Sunday morning and I was laid up on the lake somewhere about 11:30 and the Lord shows up?
Like Peter, I go fishing.
Yeah. Amen. What if I was going down the road listening to some music that just was not honoring to Him at all? Amen?
You're up. Amen.
This is Sunday school. It's not supposed to be preaching. But there's a lot of places and things I wouldn't want to do. I wouldn't want to be whenever He come back. And so this is a crown that you can earn. Just be thinking about His return. I'll tell you what, if you think about His return often, it'll keep you out of a lot of trouble.
Amen.
Amen. As a teenager or a child, If there was a chance that mom and dad might show up at any second, it kept you out of a lot of trouble. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
They could just come in at any moment. And the Lord Jesus Christ could come back at any moment. And I'm looking forward to His return. But if you're not right with God, you might want to get right with God because you're probably not looking for His return. Amen? Amen. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. So the first of the crowns that you can win is the crown of righteousness. And that is for loving His appearing, thinking about His coming back. This whole thing of the Christian life is about Him. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so our mind and our thoughts ought to be on Him continually. His return, His word. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. So the second of the crowns that we can earn as a child of God is the incorruptible crown. The incorruptible crown. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, Paul speaks of this when addressing the church of Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 24. The Bible says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So here's another crown that Paul mentions that a child of God can earn, and that is an incorruptible crown. In describing this crown, he compares the Christian life to an athletic event, to a race. we find there. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 2 says that, so let us run the race with patience. There's a cloud of witnesses that watches us. It's over in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. But Paul references finishing the course and keeping the faith back in 1 Timothy. This thing of the Christian life is a race. And God has a place for you in this race. Everybody has a place. Has anybody ever heard the term stay in your lane? Amen. Stay in your lane. I've heard pastors say that. Have to tell other people, or an evangelist maybe that's out of their church, stay in your lane. I'm the pastor. You're the evangelist. Stay in your lane. Amen. Or, you know, you're a Sunday school teacher. Stay in your lane. And so what does that mean? We're all in a race and we're racing together, but we all have a lane we're supposed to be in. God's put you in this race in a certain position, a certain place to run, but we're all running together. And so Paul mentions this crown here. He mentions this crown. Paul likens the Christian life to an athletic event in these verses, a race. And Paul talked about finishing the course with and keeping the faith. When we got saved, God put us on a track and gave each one of us a course to run. And there's a lot of Christians, sadly, they get off the track and they stray. They stray. There's some people that when they get saved, God maybe puts a call on their life, and maybe they marry the person they're not supposed to marry, or maybe they get off on some kind of sin, and they never get to do what God intended for them to do. Every person in here, God has something for you to do. For Him.
Amen.
Amen. And it might be to stay at this church, and whatever needs to be done, you help out and you drop money in the plate and you support missionaries. Maybe that's what God has for you to do. And guess what? You do that for the glory of God.
Amen.
Maybe it's a Sunday school class. Maybe it's going out door knocking, inviting people. God will give you the gifts to do that. There's gifts that He gives. And this crown can be earned by you just doing what God's called you to do and staying right with Him. Getting in the race and running the race that God has in store for you. Paul mentions that that earning this crown has to do with keeping our flesh in subjection and not letting it rule us. In verse 27, he said, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Keeping your flesh in subjection. Paul told us to believe over in Romans chapter 8. He said, "I die daily." Amen. There's a war that goes on between our flesh and the spirit, and you have to keep that thing in subjection. In verse 25, Paul likens this to an athlete training to master a race. An athlete is temperate in all things. He trains, he prepares his body in a certain way, eats certain things, does certain things to train to keep his body in shape to run. And as a child of God, we have a testimony to keep. And we have a race to run for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we ought to do whatever it takes to get ourselves in a position to please Him and to run our race. And this is the crown that he's talking about here. You won't find an elite athlete. Well, I say that. One just got disqualified from the Olympics for smoking marijuana last week. I don't know if y'all saw that in the news. And she's all upset about it because she don't know what's wrong. Amen. What is an athlete doing smoking marijuana? I don't know. Ask the president. He'd probably help out. But there's, drinking liquor and all those kind of things. I mean, they're going to try, supposed to try, not to do anything to harm their body, because that's what they used to run that race. And as a child of God, there's just some things that we ought to do, and there's things we shouldn't do so we can run our race, trying to please the Lord Jesus Christ. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. First Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 19. Look what the Bible has to say about your body. And don't forget the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible said you're going to be judged that day for everything done in your body, whether good or bad. Amen. Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. We see that here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Our body ought to give God all the glory. Everything that we do ought to give Him the glory. And this race that we're running, God's given us a place. He's given us an opportunity to serve Him. And we need to remember that we are not our own. People say, I'm my own man. Not if you're saved, you're not. You belong to the Lord. Amen. And you ought to try to please Him. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Go back a couple chapters. Christian's body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and the Lord says that we shouldn't defile it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 through 17. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? When Paul is talking to the church of Corinth here, he's trying to remind him, the Holy Spirit of God is living in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Reminding them. I've often used this illustration before with somebody that is saved, but they have a problem with drinking or smoking or maybe looking at something they're not supposed to. I say, every time you get ready to do that, every time you get ready to smoke, open your Bible and read your Bible while you're smoking. Let the ashes fall on the Bible. So I would never do that. Well, every time you inhale, the Holy Spirit is living in you. Amen. Every time you partake of something you're not supposed to, the Holy Spirit's living in there. Every time you watch something that you're not supposed to, the Holy Spirit's living inside of you. And having the Bible open is just a physical illustration of what's going on the inside. And so if we walk in the Spirit instead of the flesh, this will help us earn this incorruptible crown. Look with me in Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter 5. All right, Galatians chapter 5, and look at verse number 16. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. The Bible said, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. Now, there's a whole lot that can be said about walking in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. He guides us, and we ought to walk in the Spirit. His words are Spirit and life. Amen. It's important for us to read our Bible every day. Some Christians don't understand how important reading our Bible is every day. It helps with every one of these things, reading our Bible every day. And so we walk in the Spirit instead of the flesh. We can earn an incorruptible crown. This crown does not fade away. It's an eternal crown. Amen. And it's for keeping our body in subjection. This is another opportunity you have as a child of God to earn a crown. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians 10:10. We're going over all these things, and it's good to be reminded that we're going to face that judgment seat of Christ one day. Amen. And you know, not one of these things, you might say, well, it's hard to do these things. It's hard to do them if you're fighting against it. Amen. It's hard to do if you're... And our flesh does not like being in subjection to anything. It doesn't like being in subjection to the Bible. It doesn't like being in subjection to a pastor or church. Our flesh does not like any of those things. So it's constantly going to fight against you. But the more you're in your Bible and the more that you just reckon yourself to be dead, there's a lot of things a dead man can't do. A dead man has no opinion.
Yeah.
Right? So if your flesh says, hey, I want to do this, dead man have no opinion. Amen. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Look at verse number 13. Look at this promise that we have. And this promise will help you in earning this crown. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Amen there. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. No matter what temptation you face as a child of God, He will have a way for you to get out. And you can do it. If you fall to that temptation, you chose not to take the way out. Just like a runner in a race, he's tempted to quit or give up or take a shortcut or whatever the case might be, but you have to make that decision. There's always a way out. And so we have that promise. Let's look at a couple of the verses that I think can help in earning this crown, and then we'll be finished for today. Galatians chapter number 2. Some other verses to keep in mind that will help in earning this crown. Galatians chapter 2. Look at verse number 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The Lord can help you with whatever it is that you face. Amen. Let Him live through you. Let Him love through you. Let him live this Christian life through you. We're just a vessel. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. Let Him use you. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I know we're bouncing around. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Second Corinthians chapter 10, look at verse number 5. Or go back up to verse number 3. These are just different verses that will help you in earning this incorruptible crown, which is keeping your body in subjection, running your race, staying faithful to the race God has given you. God's called you to do something as a child of God. You run it well. This is a crown that you can earn. Verse number 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Another verse to help encourage you to help to earn this crown. So what is it? Every single thought that comes up that is going to cause you to hinder, to slip, to sin, to quit, to give up, cast that thing down. Bring it into captivity every thought. Man, it would save a whole lot of heartache if we would stop a thought right when the thought appeared.
Amen.
Because if that thing goes from a thought to an imagination and you begin to daydream about it, then it becomes a stronghold. The next thing you know, it has you. A perfect illustration of this is Eve in the garden. When Satan came before her and tempted her and said, "You'll be like gods, knowing good and evil," she thought about it. What would it be like for me to be a god? But she didn't cast that down. She began to imagine it. She thought about it, and then she started imagining what it would be like. And the next thing you know, she's taking a bite of that fruit. What now? Stronghold. And how many Christians are running their race and they're striving for the mastery, they're trying to please God. Is it going to be easy? No. No, there's people throwing stuff at you. There's wiles of the devil. There's fiery darts being thrown at you. Sometimes there's family throwing stuff at you. Sometimes there's people running the race with you trying to trip you.
Yeah, amen.
Amen? I thought they were a Christian. They are. For some reason, they're trying to trip you. Amen? You just keep running the race. You keep going. You start having a bad thought. You start having a thought. I tell you what, unity can get messed up in a church just like that.
Yeah.
And it'll wreck more than one people's race. Did anybody see the wreck in the Tour de France?
Yes,
I'm not. Anybody see that?
Yes.
It was a massive pileup. And it was a bystander with a sign. Wrecked the whole thing. I mean, all these people piled up. People got hurt, man, just messed up the whole race. Somebody holding a sign. Amen. Have you ever run into a sign running the race for the Lord? Amen. I keep wondering if somebody's going to get in an accident because of Alexander Shinara's sign and then sue him because they got distracted by the sign. They have billboards that are upside down, so you got to really look at it focused. And somebody's going to hit somebody one day looking at that sign. Amen. And there's Christians that are running the race. And it might be in a checkout line at Walmart, sitting up on in a magazine rack. Might be something that small. It might be an ad that comes across the screen when you're looking up car parts. Amen?
Yeah.
Anything.
Yeah.
Might be a sign that causes you to stumble, just like in that race they all piled up. And you know what? It never just affects one person.
Right.
Yeah.
One person hit the sign and a massive pileup ensued. And I've seen that happen in churches before. I mean, he helps small, struggling churches. He sees them close their doors all the time. Somebody stumbles in the race and the whole thing falls over. That's a dangerous place to be in, is it not?
Yes, sir.
Last verse, Philippians 4:13. You know this verse. This is another verse to help you in this race. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You can do this. Isn't that encouraging to know? You say, well, I can't do it. You're right. You can't, but He can. So let Him use you. Amen. Let Him use you. Back over, and I'm finishing up. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, striving for that crown, striving for that crown. You don't have to turn back over there, but in verse number 27, Paul said he didn't want to be a castaway. He didn't want to be a castaway. He didn't want to be an example of somebody that didn't make it.
Yes.
Amen? And so striving for this crown, it's connected with having a good testimony.
Yeah.
Having a good testimony. And so you don't... I mean, how many times have you heard people that didn't finish the race well?
Yeah.
They fell short of the line. They quit. They got out. They gave up. Paul said, I don't want to be a castaway. He gave us some examples in Scripture of people that did him harm in the ministry or that quit.
Mm-hmm.
Castaways. All right, does anybody have any comments or anything?
Well, that girl at the Olympics, the perfect example of the castaway. From what I understand, she is one of the fastest women in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she is an elite runner, but she did something to disqualify herself. She may not agree with her life, but and he talked about running the race lawfully, and that's just an example of someone who... That's what she spent her life doing. That's what she trained for. That's what